Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. One of the most difficult jobs that God gives, and he doesn't give any easy jobs, does he? No. Whether you're a father or a mother or whatever line of work or vocation God has put you in, you have your own burdens to bear, your own responsibilities. But there is an office into which God calls certain men, the pastoral office, that bears a special burden and a special responsibility. And join us to talk about those burdens and responsibility of the pastoral office, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of a column for the forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled Love Your Pastor. Matt, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
You were a parish pastor for the first half of your ministry. What was the hardest part about being a day-to-day, on-the-ground pastor of a parish?
I think for me, the hardest part was simply the anxiety and worry and concern for the flock. And it would manifest itself in many and various ways and circumstances and situations. People who maybe were not attending church, who I had called upon multiple times and did not respond. People who had made bad decisions in life and, despite my pleas or the pleas of others, would refuse to repent and rejoin the group of sinners. The internal struggles that happen in every parish between families that have old hurts and issues between them, having to deal with a situation of infidelity in marriage and deception, just every malady of human life, hearing the confession of just numerous people, that was mostly a joy, but the process getting to the point of confession was just a very, very grave burden.
You reference early on in a recent column you've written, the writer to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter, where in words many people are familiar with, he writes, "Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." What is at the heart of this reverence, this obedience, that the flock owe their pastor?
Well, the Word of God says clearly that we are to honor, love, and respect our pastors, encourage them, and hear the Word of God from them when it comes from them, and listen to it in the same way as we respect parents, though they might have idiosyncrasies. Every pastor has idiosyncrasies. Fundamentally, internally, want to be God. And so we don't want other people telling us how to live. We don't want people telling us what we should believe. We don't want a locus of control outside of our own head. And it's easy in our postmodern culture simply to say, well, I don't agree with that pastor. I have my own views, but I'll just be whatever member of the church I want to be. Instead of really submitting to the Word of God, I think it's easy for rebellion to manifest itself against a pastor, especially if that pastor is a bit eccentric and everyone has certain weaknesses that are easy to gossip about or expand upon.
That's kind of the difficulty here, the rock and the hard place for the pastor. Is he wants to urge people to have, as you have said, that right reverence and obedience to the pure Word of God. But he himself, as he well knows, is fraught with all sorts of human weakness that
yes.
wouldn't itself recommend reverence or obedience in and of itself. Talk about
that. Yeah, well, you know, a pastor maybe doesn't have the best skills in dealing with people publicly, or a pastor maybe is an extreme introvert and has really not quite figured out how to deal with that, the nature of that personality, both in its strengths and its weaknesses, and every personality has strengths and weaknesses. So it really, being a pastor really takes, it takes an unbelievable sense of self to become secure enough to ask people for the kind of criticism, healthy criticism, to help one hone one's skills in various ways. And over the years, in dealing with a lot of brother pastors and dealing with my own situations and challenges in congregations, I've discovered that it's really important. It's so important, just like Jesus, who becomes incarnate, takes on our flesh. It's so important for a pastor to be in his community, seen in his congregation. Robert Preuss told us when we were at the seminary that if your people see you in their pulpit and their living room, you'll never have any problems. And that's really a profound truth. It's so important to be present, to be with people. It's so important to let them, on the one hand, see a person who respects and believes in Christ's word and therefore doesn't act improperly, but on the other hand, to see a fellow sinner, a fellow traveler, a person who loves them, spends time with them, gets to know them where they are, gets to understand their context, their working situation, their families. To be part of that is so vitally important.
Let's take a break right there when we come back. A question on who is the proper person to put it in blunt terms, assert the pastor's authority among his people. Is the pastor necessarily the person to say to his people, you ought to obey me according to God's word? We'll see what Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has to say about that after this. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
What can lay people do to help support pastors and other professional church workers? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, Supporting Church Workers. You can purchase this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Holding Up the Prophet's Hand costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Holding Up the Prophet's Hand at issuesetc.org. Children's choirs of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with the Pentecost hymn, O Holy Spirit, Enter In. It's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Yes, I know that Lutheran Public Radio is supposed to stop at the end of the Easter season. We figured, why not keep going on through the Pentecost season? Sacred music for the world, 24/7, absolutely free, anytime you want to listen, at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the world. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about the burdens and responsibilities that are borne by pastors. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, is the pastor necessarily the person to say to his people, you ought to obey me according to God's word?
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, the word of God says these kind of things and makes clear statements. I think the pastor should make a statement, like in the case of a live-in situation, say, look, I've got a clear word of God here, and I am bound to uphold it come hell or high water, and I'm going to do that for the sake of my conscience and what I've been called to do. Now, how can I apply that to you in a way that is most loving? And so a pastor constantly has to nuance this situation. I think what often happens when I hear the complaint that people don't respect pastoral authority, the game has already been lost, as it were. It's very important. Wilhelm Leah made the statement in his Evangelische Geistliche, his pastoral theology, that he who is not well-loved is not well-heard. And it's certainly true that sometimes a pastor will come in and a congregation has developed unhealthy attitudes, unhealthy practices, unhealthy chemistry, and it may take a pastor to come in and just put up with the nonsense and finally say, you know, you ran off the three previous pastors, but I'm strong enough to weather this storm for the sake of the next guy. It might be important to do that. But in many cases where there's a complaint against pastoral authority, the flip side has to be asked or sought. How did Jesus exercise his authority? He was not standing up all the time saying, this is my authority. He goes before the flock. He suffers for the flock. He's silent before the accusers. He bears the sins. He pleads for Jerusalem and prays for it, even when it was unfaithful and not wanting to hear him. That's the example for us.
Now, I know that this concerns you deeply. I've heard it from your own lips. And speaking to our context of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there is a problem. I think the awareness of it is probably growing as time goes by. And it is of pastors who have, sometimes through mutual fault, sometimes really through no major fault of their own, have been driven from parishes, sometimes removed unbiblically from parishes. They're trying their best to be faithful to God's word, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the congregation won't hear of it. What are your thoughts there, Matt?
Well, it certainly is the case, and unhealthy situations develop. And I think what is most important for congregations in this circumstance, and also for pastors, I've also encouraged our district presidents to make sure that when ordinations occur and installations occur, you stick to the agenda of the church for installation and ordination. And in those agendas, those services, you have exactly what a pastor is called to do and be, and what a congregation is called to do and be in this circumstance. So the best thing to do, I believe, is for congregations to review the ordination and installation rites so they know, what does God clearly expect of my pastor, and what does he not expect? What does God clearly expect of me? And in that agenda, the pastor promises many things. The first text, by the way, in the ordination rite, the first word of the first text is, go, therefore, unto all nations. And so I say to pastors, look, if you haven't been visiting your people, go. If somebody has something against you, go speak to that person. If there's a problem in the congregation that needs to be dealt with, go. If there's opportunity for you to be visible in your community, go. That's the first mandate of the ordination installation rites. By the same token, the laity promise that they'll speak well with their pastor, they'll put the best construction on things, they'll love him despite his faults. It even says love covers a multitude of sins. They'll recognize and uphold and encourage him and uphold him in his duties to care for his family. Those are vital issues. If a pastor's family is not cared for, the pastor isn't going to last long.
You mentioned the family, and that's something that really must, it is a consideration in a lot of these things. A pastor might say, well, look, Matt, I think if it was just me, I could stay here and weather the storm, and perhaps even through some diligent pastoral care and the patient application of God's word in preaching and teaching, I think I could turn this around. But my wife is miserable. My kids are miserable. Speak to that situation.
Well, I think we certainly recommend that pastors and care for their vocations. And we believe, and clearly so as Lutherans, that the vocation of father and husband is one that is a God-pleasing vocation given by God, and it is vitally important for a pastor and his life. And the pastor can and should make decisions on whether he will accept a call or serve elsewhere based upon the well-being of his family. That's true. It's a balance. On the other hand, I like to say that in the whole call issue, there's no action that is sinless. So therefore, we have this crazy idea in the Missouri Synod that when pastors get a call, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is going to talk to them over the next couple weeks about what they're supposed to do or what God's telling them. We say right in our confessions repeatedly, God does not work that way, small call articles. God works only through the Word. So the issue is a pastor has two calls. He's got a call where he is, and he's got a call to go elsewhere. The question is it sinful for him to, in and of itself, take that call or stay? Well, no. What's the wise thing for him to do, given his family, given the well-being, especially the congregation? And then, in the midst of that decision, there will be all kinds of sinful reasons to stay and sinful reasons to go. You can't avoid sin. What do? You make the best reasonable decision, trust the gospel, and know that you're forgiven, and rejoice that you have a call.
Talk, if you would, about what you say. It's a fearful task. It's a noble task, St. Paul says, but it's also something that should be undertaken with a right and godly fear, this pastoral task.
I tell you, you get out as a young pastor, and you know, you might think you're pretty cool, and you have a few successes, or who knows what, maybe not, but you are quickly reduced to nothing. And nothing in various ways, whether criticism of preaching or inability to heal a certain circumstance that's been longstanding, or frustration with confirmation, or the family that just won't respond to your calls or anything. And I tell you, as I think back on my years as sole pastor and associate head pastor in the parish, I think of all those families I visited, some of them many times, and little or no response to the gospel. And that just was it something about me, was it my preaching that kept them away? I don't know. But it's a huge burden to bear. But it's precisely, ironically, in coming to realize your own inadequacies, your own nothingness, that you trust in Jesus and his word as the all-powerful thing. You know, the Bible is full of these great passages about the efficacy and power of the word of God, and whatever God says, that thing, that dabar, that word will take place in the Old Testament. And one, over time as a pastor, learns to trust. I guess God over time makes pastors Christians too.
With only about 30 seconds, what word of encouragement would you briefly speak to the pastors who are listening to us, who have undertaken this fearful and wonderful task and heard and responded to the call of the church and of God to serve God's people?
know that no matter where you are, no matter how humble or rural or small or urban or inner city, the Lord has put you there. The Lord has you there. You're His man for that place. He's not called you to something that's going to be easy. You knew that from the start. You're into it now. You're blessed and forgiven. If you're having struggles and challenges in the parish, reach out to your brothers. Call back to the seminaries. Talk to some folks. Give us a call here, and we'll help you get hooked up with folks who can help you take a look at your challenges and give you a refreshed spirit to go back at it. And the Lord bless you.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a column in the forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled Love Your Pastor. We'll post a link to this column under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series with Pastor Will Whedon on the historic liturgy. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about absolution with Pastor Whedon. Tomorrow also, our pastor's roundtable is going to study John 3, 1 through 17. That includes the famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Also, the context there is Jesus talking to Nicodemus saying, "You must be born again." How do those two things go together? Our guest will be Pastor Charlie Henriksen of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bonterra, Missouri, and Pastor Nathan Dudley of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Clarinda, Iowa. The task that pastors have from God's call is a difficult one, but it is a great joy at the same time to release sinners from the bonds of sin, to give them the greatest gift that God gives through Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, in that forgiveness of sins. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.